MMA Mania joins us. UFC 196 gets going tomorrow. Jesse, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Hello, my friend.
Let's break it down, Diaz. If he's going to have a major upset, how's he got to go about it?
Well, that's really hard to say because when you look at his best chance of winning, obviously you have to look at what he can do on the ground and his jiu-jitsu background. The problem is we haven't really seen McGregor get tested on the ground, so we can't just automatically assume, well, if Diaz gets this fight to the floor, the fight is his to lose. We just don't know that for a fact. And personally, I'm not convinced he can get it to the floor. He doesn't have the wrestling. He doesn't have the power. He's got a great clinch. But unfortunately, he's got to first get in the clinch to get this fight south. He doesn't have the power punching to stun McGregor or put him on his ass with a well-timed right. So, honestly, I don't see how it happens.
You know, Diaz, this will be the first time, I think, in McGregor's career that he goes in without the reach advantage. Do you think that matters at all?
Absolutely matters, and I think a lot of people are kind of overlooking that fact, and this is going to be a very close fight for about the first 5 minutes, and I think what McGregor is going to have problems with coming in is that jab, and he's going to be surprised by how well Diaz controls the distance, how well he's able to use his range. And I think he's going to be frustrated. But the issue here is, like he mentioned in the press conference, Diaz can become very predictable. He can establish a pattern and never deviate from it. So I think after a very close first round where Diaz gets a lot of oohs and ahs from the audience, I think McGregor is going to find the winning formula and turn it up.
This, I was watching, did you happen to see the CNBC interview between the two of them online earlier today?
Yes.
You did? I'll say, Conor McGregor might be the best, because, A, he's great in the octagon, but he's one of the best trash talkers without going lowbrow, if you know what I mean? And he's a good hype machine at the same time. Like, he's a very unique fighter in UFC, and not one, when you had Anderson Silva, because of his language barrier, and George St. Pierre, who was the politest guy on the planet, you know, they didn't really invoke a lot of hatred if you didn't like him. Whereas McGregor has people who will watch him as much those who love him as much those who dislike him.
Well, I think what's great about McGregor, and I think what separates him from guys in the past that we've seen who have employed similar tactics, like we've seen Chael Sonnen. Chael Sonnen was more of like the class clown. McGregor finds things about his opponent and he targets them. He finds weaknesses, not just in their physical game, but in their mental game. And he says things that really matter. He goes after them in that way. He kind of makes it more personal. And I think that's what really works in the mental warfare. And he's always been able to strike the right chord going into each fight. Has that worked on Diaz? I'm not convinced, because I honestly, having watched him for almost 9 years now inside the UFC cage, he's very hard to rattle. And I believe him when he says he doesn't give an expletive.
Jesse Holland joins us from MMA Mania. One last one on this fight. So let's say McGregor wins. What would be the best next opponent for him, or more importantly, for the UFC?
The most important opponent for him, and probably why we haven't seen Robbie Lawler get booked for a fight, is Robbie Lawler at UFC 200. It sounds insane on paper. I think it diminishes the argument that mixed martial arts is a sport, because I think it compromises the integrity of the featherweight division. But let's face it, Conor McGregor is the biggest star in the company right now. He's making UFC and himself a ton of money, and people pay to watch him fight. So if he wants to move up and fight Robbie Lawler at welterweight for the welterweight title, they could do boku bucks at the box office for UFC 200, which is supposed to be the biggest UFC event of all time. So that certainly would not surprise me.
Jesse, if Ronda Rousey has beaten Miesha Tate a few times, does Tate have a chance against Holly Holm tomorrow night?
That all depends on Holly Holm. And what's surprising about Holly Holm is just how completely average she looked in her fights prior to going up against Ronda Rousey. And I think what you see in the Rousey fight is Ronda did all the work for her. She just lumbered forward with her hands down and her chin up, and Holm, with her boxing pedigree, was able to punish her for it. She's not going to get that same gift from Tate, who is despite all her flaws, she is a terrific wrestler. She has a ton of heart, and she's a gamer. And I think she's going to make this a very close fight. The question is, how aggressive will Holm be now that she has the title? Is she going to play it safe? Is she going to stick and move for 25 minutes? I think that's the key here. A very close fight, but I have a hard time imagining Holm, who is a physical specimen, getting down, being held down enough for Tate to win enough points.
Those are the two main events on the card of UFC 196. What are some of the fights on the undercard that you're looking forward to watch?
I'm really interested in seeing Amanda Nunes compete because she's kind of like the dark horse in the women's bantamweight division. She had a tough loss against Kat Zingano, but I'll tell you what, in the first 5 minutes of any fight she's in, she is a monster. And I think with a big win here, she's very close to a title shot. If not, they'd probably put her up against someone who's equally ferocious in Juliana Pena. There's a couple different directions to go, but she's definitely one to watch. Another one is Corey Anderson, who's fighting Tom Lawler. I think this is a very important fight in that division because Anderson's still a young guy. He's a tough winner. And at 26, I think with a couple big wins, he's right up there as well.
Jesse Holland joins us. Jesse, going back to the Holm Tate, and you mentioned that Holly Holm had not looked great prior to her, you know, upset win against Rousey. I guess there's a chance of, you know, maybe falling back into being the fighter she was before. Or is it possible that what we saw in that fight was, you know, her ability that she really hadn't reached before? Maybe she was fighting out of fear somewhat or had a really good strategy. If you look at her strategy, this fight against Tate, how different do you think it's going to be compared to how she fought Ronda?
I don't think it's going to be much different. And what's interesting is her camp said after the fight that they were holding back in her first two UFC fights. They didn't want to show all the goods, kind of like the long con going into the title fight. I'm not sure I buy that because if you lose either of those fights, you don't get a title shot. But I think she's going to have the exact same game plan. I think she's going to have the exact same strategy as far as offense. The question is, how will Miesha Tate respond? And I don't think she's savvy enough with her career. She's a longtime veteran. She knows better. And I think she's going to do exactly the opposite of what Rousey did. And that's keep away, work the clinch, wall and stall, wrestle when she can. So I think this is definitely going to go into the championship round.
One last one, Jesse. I heard some rumblings of a potential cruiserweight division at 225 or 230 in between the light heavies and the heavies. Do you think that's ever going to happen in the UFC?
I don't think so. I think it just gets too cluttered at that point. And UFC President Dana White has never been a fan of more divisions. We had to twist his arm and his legs to get anything below lightweight, so that would be a big surprise if they did that.
Okay, I'm just curious. We talked about the Lawler and McGregor and how, you know, you're having guys, you know, jump around weight classes a little bit where there's not such a gap, right? Like when you go to the 60-pound gap, that's massive. And there's a lot of guys who just can't compete in the heavyweight division but are too big to fight in light heavyweight.
Yeah, I think in those situations, if you had a fight that was worth making, I think they would be open to doing a catchweight fight.
That's fair. Well, now the Lawler McGregor fight, would it be a catchweight or a belt?
That would definitely be for the belt. I don't think you have the punch, no pun intended, if you just make that as a feature fight. It's got to be for the title, something like that, where there's so much risk. It's for all the marbles. I think that's really something you can sell.
Well, we'll look,
especially if he goes out there and smokes Diaz.
Yeah, well, I'd be very surprised. I called McGregor in the second round over Diaz. Diaz has shown that, you know, he can take a punch, and you know, I definitely don't think he's going to come in like Jose did and expose himself early. I think they probably learned from that, but I don't see any way Diaz wins this fight.
I think he lasts a little longer than the second, but okay. I definitely think he goes down.
Appreciate it, Jesse. Enjoy the fight.
My pleasure.